Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we finished out our series we're calling Built to Last. We're walking through our core values one at a time. We were talking about personal ministry this Sunday, the reality that we are servants, that God has called us to use our time, our treasures, our talents to serve Him, to serve the body, to serve one another, and that God, He has a way that He has a part He wants us to play in His kingdom work. And so, we've been kind of highlighting a character from the figures that, from the scriptures that highlight each core value. And obviously, Christ embodies most fully all of these core values. But there are other characters in scripture that are given to us that are, sort of foreshadowings of Christ and that in some ways embody some of these core values. And so we looked at Moses this Sunday and the man of God who's called, not only the man of God, he's called the servant of God. Over and over and over, he's called, right, God's servant. And he faithfully served the Lord and served the people of Israel for 40 years, leading them through the wilderness. But what's really interesting is that before he faithfully serves for 40 years, we actually see him at the moment of the burning bush, and that's where we were on Sunday as Exodus 3, is God telling him, hey, I'm going to use you to lead the people out of Israel, or out of Egypt, lead the people of Israel out of Egypt to deliver them. And Moses is like, he wants nothing to do with it. He objects to God 5 times in Exodus 3. God tells him exactly what's going to happen and how he's going to use him. And he kind of lays it out for him. Sometimes in the Bible, God calls people to do something. And from our perspective, the details are kind of lacking. And it's like, well, I guess this person just needs to, trust the Lord and move on. And with Moses, it's like, God gives him, here's what the people are going to say, and here's what Pharaoh's going to say, and here's what I'm going to do in response to that. And Moses, here are signs that you can do that will convince the people. And Moses just keeps objecting and keeps like, well, Lord, here's an excuse, and here's an excuse, and here's an excuse. And at one point in time, he literally says, why don't you just send someone else? I think the literal phrasing is, God, you can send anyone else you want to, or send someone else. But it's this polite way of saying, Lord, I think you chose the wrong person. Just send anyone else. And God's like, Moses, I'm sending you. And what's interesting, something that I've not fully appreciated in the past when looking at Exodus 3 is, I think, Exodus 2 comes first. And in Exodus 2, what we learn is that 40 years before, Moses is 80 at the moment of the burning bush, 40 years before at age 40, he tried to help the people of Israel. So if you know Moses' story, he was raised, he's an Israelite, he's a Hebrew, but he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. And he clearly, as he gets older, he's got a world-class education, basically raised as an Egyptian prince, but he clearly identifies with his Hebrew brothers and sisters. And at age 40, he goes out one day and he sees an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew slave, and he kills the Egyptian. And then the next day, another episode shows where two Hebrews are fighting one another, and he steps in. He's like, why are you guys fighting each other? And they turn on him, and they say, hey, who made you ruler and judge over us? Which is some ironic foreshadowing, right? Because that's exactly what God is going to do 40 years later, is make Moses ruler and judge. But they look at him, and they say, who made you ruler and judge over us? And are you going to kill us the way you killed the Egyptian? And so Moses is terrified when he hears that, because he knows, man, what I did, it's out. And so he has to flee, and he runs away from Egypt. He runs away from his life and spends 40 years then in the wilderness tending sheep, which, in hindsight, we know, okay, that's God preparing him for the next 40 years that he's going to spend tending the people of Israel in the desert. But I think the objections he raises, the excuses he gives, the fear and the doubt he exhibits in Exodus 3 is very related to what happens in Exodus 2. 40 years before, he tried to help his brothers and sisters. He clearly had a desire to try to deliver them, to help them in their plight. And he tries, but it's not God's timing and it's not God's way. He murders a dude and it just blows up in his face. And so 40 years later, God's telling him, man, I'm going to deliver the people and I'm going to use you. And Moses is just like, man, I'm the wrong man. I don't speak well. They're not going to believe. Who am I to go back and deliver your people? And God's responses are, I mean, just incredible. God tells him, look, you know, it really doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who I am, right? I mean, literally tells him, you tell them the I am sent you. But it's this wonderful reality. I said this phrase a couple of years ago teaching on this passage. When it comes to our confidence to take steps in obedience, it's not about having a better view of self. It's about having a clearer view of God. You know, God doesn't tell Moses, I need you to look deep inside yourself and just tell yourself you're a confident, intelligent man. He doesn't say any of that, right? He points him to, you know, Moses, I'll be with you. I'll give you the words to speak. I'll give you Aaron, your brother, right, who will help you. I mean, he gives Moses everything he needs. But Moses' excuses and his objections, I wonder how much of that is rooted in, Lord, I tried in the past and I failed. And I wonder for some of us, right, maybe you're listening right now and that's just sort of the reality of where you are, is you sense, you know, God calling you to take steps in obedience, to step out and serve, to step out and lead, to step out and share the gospel, to whatever it may be, lead your family, love, disciple your kids, share the gospel in your workplace, just to pre-prioritize your time. And you're like, Lord, I tried that in the past, whatever that thing is, and man, it just failed. And I'm afraid to take a step now. And so there's all these excuses, and God, here's why I can't do that. And man, if that's where you are, I just, you know, we have examples in scripture of people who have been there, who have felt that. And again, it's not the Lord saying, look, you just need to overcome that. And you know, you can do it and your abilities, you know, it's, hey, I'm going to be with you. If you're doing this in obedience to the Lord, maybe the last time it wasn't the Lord's timing. Maybe the last time it wasn't in the Lord's way. Maybe God just had to teach you something through that season. But when God calls us to take a step forward, he equips us and he empowers us to do what he's called us to do. And as long as we keep our eyes fixed on him, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the greater Moses, the one who not only delivers us, doesn't deliver us just out of Egypt, he delivers us out of our sin, the spiritual Egypt. Our sin delivers us through his death and resurrection. As long as we keep our eyes on him, we have every reason to be confident, knowing that he's with us. So I want to take a moment and pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take some time just to pray for yourself today. Heavenly Father, help us not to fear. Help us not to be afraid. God, some of us carry wounds from the past, carry fears from the past because of failures in the past. And Lord, don't let the failures of the past keep us from doing what you've called us to do in the present. And so, Father, as you call us to take steps, help us to be obedient, help us to be confident in you, and to keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.